Good morning, everyone. This is Mulberry Blue Shimmer in another AboveTopSecret.com member podcast reply to some further questions that have been posed to me by Devil Wasp in my thread on Australia's new anti-terror laws. And once again, mate, you've come up with some interesting questions, and I'm going to do my best to answer them for you today. Now, the first point you raised that you wanted some further reply on was in regards to my point in my last reply that the laws will that we're talking about would most likely encourage terrorists and help them recruiting. And you put forth the question, wouldn't any action by Australia in any direction taken except changing to Sharia law do that also? And I'd have to say no, it wouldn't. What I was referring to in my previous podcast reply to you was we need to take away the tools to for the extremists to recruit. And let's not forget, we're talking about a minor few. There are extremists in everything, as I said, but also within the extremists, aren't there ranks of, okay, there are Islamic extremists who actually do want to commit terrorist attacks, and there are Islamic extremists that don't and aren't going to do that. So I guess what I was trying to say in my last podcast, which may or may not have come across too clearly, is one of the most powerful tools we can give people as well is a bunch of people who are going to ally themselves to the cause of the extremists. Isn't it better that we don't create that particular climate in the first place? You're not going to stop terrorists either here or overseas to a degree here, from turning around and saying, this is what I think we should do. I think we should blow up things. I think we should, sort of strap a bomb to our backs and blow ourselves up. You're not necessarily going to do that. What you can prevent, though, is in the wider community, the people listening to them actually going along with that. If the Muslim community here, and it's reported in the paper this morning from a summit that was held yesterday in Melbourne by the Muslim community, that the entire community is being tarred with the same brush of the radicals. Like, a lot of people seem to think that, oh, the entire Muslim community actually, you know, are potential terrorists, and that's not necessarily so. So if you've got a situation where you have a fundamentalist cleric coming to speak here saying, okay, 9/11 never happened, and let's all, you know, go commit terrorist attacks. What's better? People going, yeah, I'm pissed off at the way I'm being treated. I'm really annoyed. Okay, where's the bomb? Strap it to me. Or willing to listen to it and actually start taking those ideas in because it's starting to resonate with an internal anger, or just not actually taking that on board at all. Actually, the more Australian response to that, in the not taking it on board at all, is, you know, sort of people actually listening to it and turning around and saying, oh, shut up. What's better there? So if you take away those tools and don't create that underclass, if you like, of people who are going to start bonding with this kind of rhetoric, isn't that better than actually introducing stuff like this, disenfranchising people in that respect, making them feel marginalised, so then they look around for someone else to ally to instead of the Australian government or way of life or whatever you want to call it? I'm not sure if I'm too clear on that and that ramble, so if I'm not, please drop me a line and let me know. Now, the other thing you were talking about is the innocent until proven guilty thing, and you said it's a double-edged sword. What I was referring to there in innocent until proved guilty is the laws as they stand do refer to crimes that have been committed, and that's the laws that they stand. The ones that they want to bring in, they're talking about detaining people on a crime that may be committed and also may not be committed. If someone is a terrorist suspect, they think, you know, the authorities think that they have been linked with terrorism or terrorist acts or anything like that, then yes, they do have a right to pull someone in for questioning for a reasonable time only, and then release them either with or without charge, or arrest them, okay, or charge them. You cannot, under law as it stands at the moment, arrest someone for something that hasn't happened. That's where you're getting into your police state territory, and I think that's where the problem's going to start lying, because it's really going to be watched closely. Who are they arresting? Are you arresting only Muslims, in which case that's going to go back to what I just said earlier of creating a lot of fear and a lot of resentment and, you know, sort of starting to marginalise people where they will go to these Islamic fundamentalist radicals. And potentially there you're going to start creating a snowball effect. That was what I was trying to get across before. We're talking about laws that are dealing with a maybe, not something that has occurred, not something that has already occurred, not something that people are even on suspicion on. We're dealing with a maybe. I don't like you, you're from a certain area, therefore I'm going to detain you for 14 days on the proviso that you may commit a crime. Well, you know what the flip side of that is? You may also not commit a crime. And I think there's better ways within the law to actually work around this and deal with this kind of thing. So, yeah, I hope that answers your questions, and if it doesn't, please let me know. I'm getting a bit rambly and I'm just a bit pressed for time today. I was going to say, though, that the article I referred to in the Sunday Herald Sun, and yes, I know Melbourne people, it's a rag of a paper, but, you know, on a Sunday morning it's better reading than The Age, is actually only put on page 19. And it's this tiny little article which is next to a picture of Guy Sebastian in Uganda, who incidentally was the first winner of Australian Idol. So yeah, that's newsworthy. And it's not given a whole lot of press. Who's given press? It's the radicals. And that's where we start tarring people with the same brush and, you know, creating this whole snowball effect. And that's a nice little bit of sort of informational warfare tactic. And if you want to hear more about that, or anyone does, the only thing I can say is go and listen to Magic's podcast on information warfare. To me, Magic, if you're listening to this, you have the definitive word on that as far as I'm concerned. There's nothing I can add to that that you haven't already explained. So cheers for that one. Anyway, this is Mulberry Blue Shimmer saying goodbye.